There was a young man who loved color, and some said he didn't have much of a fashion sense. And one day he went into a store and found a pair of bright, loud plaid pants that were just to his liking. And the clerk saw how animated he was when he made his purchase. But the next day, the young man came back and with a gloomy face returned the pants. The clerk asked if he didn't like the pants anymore. And he answered, "No, I love the pants," but his girlfriend didn't. The money was returned and the sad young man left. But again, the next day, the young man returned to the store and very happily laid down the cash for the pants. And the clerk asked if his girlfriend had changed her mind, and he replied, "No, I got a new girlfriend." There's a real good lesson here. You see, this young man knew who he was. He was a guy who liked colorful clothing, and he remained true to that, to the degree of radical action and ultimate happiness. Even though he was tempted to be what he was not, he was true to his creation. Remember on the cross when Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they don't know what they are doing"? Well, he meant that from the core of his being to his terrible death hanging on the cross. He meant every syllable of that, and he meant it for you and for me. Not just for the Romans who were hammering the nails into his body. That being the case, what is it that we don't know? Well, let's look at that wisdom reading that we heard first today. There are three things in there that we have forgotten as a species that are very important to us. If we can know them again, then this world could become a paradise. Paradise that it was intended to be. First, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. Secondly, God formed mankind to be imperishable, the image of his own nature he made us. And third, by the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and they who belong to his company experience it. So first, we need to fully understand that God is good. God is life. God is love. And God is just. We hear that in that reading that his justice is undying. God's justice, remember, is not evening the score. For God, justice is restoration of humanity from brokenness to godliness. Knowing then that we are the image of God's own nature, it stands to reason that not only are we eternal in nature, but our natural and original preferences in life are for the things of God. We are drawn to them. Life, love, goodness, justice, restoration. These are our deepest desires as human beings. And to have these things in a broken world, well, then we embrace godly things like forgiveness, charity, fidelity, total self-giving, just as Jesus, the human Son of God, modeled for us. Think about it. Jesus lived and died putting all these virtues into practice. For 33 years, he showed us how to reclaim and to understand our true human nature. Now, if we human beings were made for all this goodness and godliness, what happened? Why is the world in such bad shape? You know, let's face it, all we have to do is turn on the news and it's enough to try the soul. So what's going on? Well, that third point helps us to understand this. So listen closely again to the words, "By the envy of the devil, death entered the world, and those who belong to his company experience it." Now, it doesn't say that Satan is jealous It says that he is envious. Envy is like jealousy on steroids. To envy is to want what another has, and to want it so as to take it completely from him, and to destroy him in the process if that's what it takes, and not to give it a second thought. That's envy. It's horrible and it's brutal. Well, what is it then that Satan envies? Well, God is good. God is all good, and all things of God are good. We share in the nature of God. We have been given as a gift the very thing that Satan wants but cannot have, to share the nature of the God of all creation. And so the devil hates God and the things of God, especially us. We who share in God's nature, he hates us. He hates the fact that we share his eternal disposition and that we will share in glory. Therefore, the devil makes great efforts to destroy humanity, and he does so in many ways, but basically by convincing us that these first two truths are a lie. Through many forms of temptation, we buy into the idea that God is not love and not life and not truth, and that we are simply smart animals and not something far more by God's design. So if we buy into these lies, then we place ourselves, however unwittingly, into the company of the devil. And then our experience in the world and in the next will be that of death and not of life. If we choose to base our lives and existence on lies, then we will not be able to see the truth. And remember Jesus' words, the truth will set you free. You know, it's the same world for all of us, and yet how is it that some can be in the midst of life but see and choose death, while others are in the midst of death but choose and see life? That's why the wisdom reading that we shared tells us that we will experience the reality of the one we choose to accompany, God or the devil. Let's take a quick look at the gospel and the two people who encounter Jesus with such great results. Both Jairus and the woman were able to see the truth and took radical action that made the difference. Hundreds of people are pressing against Jesus and touching him. It's a huge crowd. Yet why is she the one who is healed? Why? Because she is open to who he is and what is possible through him. Note that Jesus didn't heal her. Her faith in him healed her. Jesus is very clear about this. He was a little surprised when he felt the power go out of him. How many in the crowd were there just to be near this rock star preacher? She was there because she recognized the truth. Jairus is a synagogue official. It's a prestigious position in their society, whether it's a big synagogue or a little one, small town, big town. It's a prestigious position. And many in the synagogues would take sides against Jesus. So it's a radical movement for him to approach Jesus openly in broad daylight in a big crowd and ask for the help that only God can give. His daughter's life is at stake, and Jairus knows where life comes from. He is open to what is true and real and valuable. And when the news of his daughter's death arrives, Jesus gives him the same message given to the woman: just have faith. Do not be afraid. Have faith. Because It's great advice for every generation, but very much so for ours, because the devil has done his work well, and now for many, death is life, lies are truth, and fear is the foundation of existence. But not so for the disciples of Christ. For those who choose the company of God, we know that God is life and love and goodness. We know that death is foreign to our imperishable nature. And we see life even in the face of death. We pursue life even in the face of death. We recognize truth and we stand up for it, come what may. We know that our very being has been fashioned by God and eternal life has already begun. Take these words from the Book of Wisdom, read them again, and imprint them on our hearts. Choose to accompany God through life. Face temptation and adversity with faith in Christ, and do not be afraid. And live as the saints that we can be now and that we will be eternally in heaven.